Morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 20. If you're visiting us today, a very warm welcome to you. For those that are more regular, you'll know we're going through the book of Acts, and we're looking at a couple of journeys that Paul the Apostle had. And we're just going to start at verse 13. I'll just read it and then I will explain it. We'll go 13 to 21. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him on aboard and went to Mithraeum. The next day we set sail from there and arrived off Kos. The day after that we crossed over to Samos and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church, and when they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you both publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us. We thank you for healing body, mind, and spirit, Lord Jesus. We ask you now, as we look at your word, that you will bring life to us. You will bring faith to us. You will bring encouragement to us. You will bring healing to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Acts 20, verse 13 to 21. And it starts off with, "We went on ahead to the ship." So who are the we? So if we just go up the slide. This is just simply so that you can see that I'm roughly trying to pronounce their names. So the we is a team that Paul had with him. There was Sopater from Berea. There was Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica. There was Gaius from Derbe. There was Timothy, Tychius, and Trophimus, the three T's. All from the province of Asia. You just get the feeling that maybe the parents in the province of Asia should look for another letter of the alphabet. Yeah. And then Luke the doctor. So these are all people who were with Paul at the time of his traveling. Now they'd, just a few days previously, they'd been in a place called Troas, where they'd stayed 7 days. And on the last night, and you'll be glad to know this is not my last night, Paul spoke so long that one poor guy, as we heard last week, fell out the window. His name was Lucky because Paul was there, so he was able to run down the stairs, pray for him, and he was healed. Paul then continued preaching through the night, and then as the day broke, he decided he would walk to Assos. Do you want to put the next slide up, please? He was in Troas, and he decided that he would walk to Assos, which actually is quicker than catching the boat. Everyone else got on the boat. He had a little bit of a day's walk, and then he joined his team in Assos. They caught the boat round through where the red arrows go all the way through to Miletus, where we are going to spend the next couple of weeks. Each trip, each sort of little journey was a day journey, and the ships travelled during the day because in the day the wind blew in the right direction, and at night there was just no wind. So they just hopped from port to port during the day. Other holiday trips are available than going around the Greek islands on a sailing yacht, but if you ever fancy it, I gather it is very, very good. I've been fortunate to have travelled with different apostolic figures within our family of churches. We're part of the Catalyst movement, which is part of New Frontiers, which has round about 1,800, 2,000 churches worldwide. And in that family, we have fathers, we call them basically apostles, and they travel around. And I've been fortunate to travel with some of those guys to a variety of places around Britain and around the world. And there is something that stands out on those trips, and I am willing to imply it to this trip here. One of the things you have is a lot of fun. And one of the things I've learned is that the closer people are to God, the more they have a good laugh. Why? Because we have the joy of the Lord within us. And the closer we are to God, the closer we are to the fullness of joy that's beside him. And there's always been a lot of fun traveling. And I'm sure that they had a lot of fun. Some of you will jump very, very quickly to where I'm going on this. And next slide. Fun and family. Paul worked in team, and I am convinced he had a lot of fun as they traveled. I mean, imagine. You've got a seven separate day trips around the Mediterranean. What's not to like? What's not to like? Adrian today is in Liverpool. He could have been doing day trips around the Mediterranean on apostolic mission, but we are so generous, we've sent him to Liverpool. Fun and family. Because that's what we are, and that's what we have. So Paul was going to sail past Ephesus, it said, because he wanted to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost. He was a Jew, and he wanted to be at the big celebration at Pentecost. It would have renewed meaning now that Jesus had risen from the dead, and some 10 or 15 years ago on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit had been poured out on a group of people, and the church had been born. It had been a new meaning, but still, he wanted to be there with his people, as it were, celebrating what God was doing in his eternal purposes across the earth. And he knew that if he stopped off at Ephesus, where he had been for 3 years, he knew a lot of people and it was going to be hard to get away. So he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll sail round to Miletus and then I'll say to the Ephesian elders, hey guys, I'm here, come and meet me. Because that was going to be quicker. Now that would take about 3 days. So you've now had a week of sailing around the nice parts of the Mediterranean, and now you've got three days in a nice seaside resort. Apostolic mission isn't all bad. We've had a lot of persecution, we've had a few beatings, a few days in prison, but now he's got time to relax, a nice walk, then 6 days around the Mediterranean, and then a nice time with his mates, with his family, at the seaside resort on the Mediterranean. Not bad, eh? It's a bit like living in Kettering. Except I haven't found the sea yet. Does it? I've got a week by the sea. This is just, it took me 3 days to realize there's no tube here. Now I discover I've got a beach to look forward to. When? August. Let's hope it's not the last week in August when I'm on holiday. So Paul now sends for the Ephesian elders, and he's going to talk to them. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be going to see what Paul talks to them about. Now, strangely, this is the only account of a Christian leader in the book of Acts talking to just Christians. All the other accounts, all the other talks, all the other speeches you hear from Christians will be to non-Christians. This is the only one where you've got Paul talking to a group of Christians. So what he's going to be saying is going to be important for us. Is that right? Good. So this is a Christian leader, Paul, talking to the Ephesian elders, which could be a very good reason for most of the room to now fall asleep and turn off. Because how many elders have we in the room? Let's just put your hands up. Oh, we have one. So this is specially for you, Tris. It's not even for me. I'm not an elder yet. Come September the 8th, I'd have to listen. But what Paul is going to be saying to these elders, he is expecting them to take back to the church. And what we learn from what Paul says and how Paul lives, we want to apply to ourselves. Paul says in one of his letters, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And there are always people, I hope, that we look at and think, actually, I'd like to live like them. I'd like to have their joy. I'd like to have their dancing ability. I'd like to pray like they did. I'd like to be able to speak to non-Christians like they do. They're just better than me. So last Saturday, Dave Woodward, Dave Prince and Isaac were outside the front door. They talked to about 50 people and got a very positive response. Is that right? Yeah? They're all nodding. That's good. 50 people just interested in knowing a little bit more about Jesus. I'd like to copy them in that. I'm not great at it. I was sitting in the barber shop the other day and we were chatting about football as the guy cut my hair, and that's great. I'm happy talking about football. Part of me, though, because it's as a new barber, was dreading the moment where at some point they say to me, what do you do? Because I hate answering that question. I haven't got the courage to say, well, I work for a worldwide organization that is at the forefront of medical healing, is bringing education to all parts of the world, that is in the forefront of social change, in our nation is at the very forefront of debt, debt relief. Debt relief and debt help. It is at the forefront of providing care for those who are marginalized and disadvantaged. I just haven't quite got the courage to come out with that answer in front of my barber in Kettering. In front of you, it was easy. And I said, so what do I do? But fortunately, he asked a different question. He said to me, what are you doing today? So I thought, I can answer that one. I'm going to keep looking in a mirror so I can see his face as I answer it. So, well, actually, what I'm doing today is I'm reading through and reviewing and then hopefully beginning to rewrite how you join Open Door Church, that place four doors down. And I was hoping his scissors weren't near my hair when he was doing it. So I kept going until he'd lifted the scissors off. And he goes, oh, why would you need to do that? And I said, well, the booklet's quite old, it's a little bit out of date, and there are new people coming, so we need a new one. And he goes, there's new people coming to church. So I can handle this conversation. I can do it. But I want to learn from others who can do it better. We want to be those who are learning and looking up. And as we look through what now briefly what Paul is going to say, he starts off by saying this, the elders arrived, would have taken them 3 years, and he's three days. Well done. The rest of you keep up. And he says to them, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. Let's go to the next slide. You know how I lived. Paul was very open about the way he lived. So he was able to say to the church leaders, you know me, you know how I lived. There was authenticity about the way that he lived. Sam spoke last week about having open heart, open hand, and finding an open heaven. We want to be those people who aren't hiding lots of secrets. Stay with me on this one. Don't rush out. I want you now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And the prayer will be this. Father, I thank you that you know this about me, but you still love me and care for me and look after me. Okay, that's the prayer I'm going to pray. Now I want you to close your eyes and think of the one thing that you wouldn't tell anybody in this room about yourself. The one thing you wouldn't want anyone else in this room to know about you. Hallelujah if you've not managed to think of anything. Now just repeat after me. Father, I thank you that you know this about me. I thank you that you still love me. I thank you that you still care for me. I thank you that you will always be my Father. Even though you know everything about me, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You will always be with me. Amen. See, one of the things that stops us living authentically, one of the things that creates gaps between us, are the things we don't want people to know about us. And the things we find difficult to share. I'm not a very emotional person, as you're probably getting the hang of. And so if I do ever lose my temper, you will know it. Others of us have a much shorter fuse. And we will rub against one another. And you'll lose your temper with me and fine. I'll move on. It doesn't make us better or worse. It makes us different. Some of us just love talking. Some of us love listening. And some of us like, please, give me a chair in a room on my own. Doesn't make us better and worse. It makes us different. And one of the key ingredients in joining our hearts together is enjoying the differences. and making the most of them. We're no better, we're no worse. Jesus is the one who has brought us into his family, and we stand alone on his favor. We stand because he died for us, rose again from the dead, and caused us to be born again. Paul was able to say to the Ephesian elders, you know how I lived. My life is an open book. We particularly, as English people, have got a bit more to learn about that. Paul was around Ephesus for three and a half years. People got to know him very, very well. And he was able to say that. He had an open heart. He had probably an open home. But people knew him. He goes on to say, you know how I served. Next slide. And he served generously. He gave himself to the Ephesus church. He worked hard. He says this, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia? I served the Lord with great humility, with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. Paul didn't back off. He knew he was a gift to the church. He knew he had a particular gift in terms of building the church, establishing the foundations of the church, ensuring that the church had a good foundation on which it would be able to build. He probably appointed the elders in the church so that the church could continue to grow and develop. But he gave himself wholeheartedly, day in and day out. When we read through his letters, we can find time and time again, he constantly, I am praying for you always. And he'll list church after church after church, person after person. He's always there. His one ambition is to serve Jesus in the role that he has been given in reaching the known world at that time. Building churches, planting churches, enduring persecution, sometimes in tears, sometimes in pain, sometimes in hurt, sometimes in joy, but he just gave himself to whatever he was doing. And he would write later on, serve the Lord with all your heart. And I believe that God wants us to have a great energy about the life that we have. A great energy. Whether it is in your plumbing, whether it's in the schoolwork, whether it's in the banks, wherever God has placed you, he wants us to be those who are serving him with generously giving ourselves to the job. Generously and energetically living the life that God has called us to do. He doesn't want us to be laid back, lazy, uncaring, but generously serving the Lord. Whether it's in tears, whether it's in suffering, with great humility, looking to raise others up, not push them down. He goes on. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you both publicly and from house to house. You know what I preached. I've put honor here. When Paul looks out on the world, he sees a people that desperately need Jesus. He sees a people that are broken. He sees a people that maybe materially are very successful, but have a hole in their heart where God wants to be. He sees a people that are sometimes disadvantaged and marginalized and pushed to the side. He sees a people that he thinks, I would love them to know God. They are the very capstone, peak of God's creation. We as people are the part of creation that God has loved and died for, sent his Son for, poured his blood out for. And I want these people to know that God. And he brings such honor to humanity in preaching the gospel. See, sometimes we can think preaching the gospel, and I know sometimes I feel this, you know, if my barber had asked a question, some questions, I think, oh, this gospel is going to come across as something negative. It's something that is just saying, well, I don't agree with this morality. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with this. Oh, yeah, well, you shouldn't really do this and you shouldn't really do this. When the gospel is about freedom and bringing good news and bringing healing and release to people. And as Paul looked out, he said, I have always preached everything that was helpful. Not always what you wanted to hear, but it was always helpful because it was leading and pointing to God. I wanted to lift you up to show you God. So I would preach uncomfortable truths to you, but it would be helpful to you. I would presumably preach it in a helpful manner that would draw you in. Because I want you to know everything about God. And not only that, I preached everywhere. We know that, we talked about it a few weeks ago, he talked for 3 years in the hall of Tyrannus to a huge crowd probably. And from that the church was born. But he also preached from house to house. Paul did life groups. Don't know whether he called them life groups. He might have called them connect groups, cell groups, home groups, flat groups. From house to house. But everywhere Paul went, he was taking Jesus with him. And he says, I preached everything to you. Now that has a particular importance for church leaders, not to get stuck in one sort of narrow vein of doctrine, but to preach the whole Bible, to preach everything that is helpful to us, everything that is useful to us, everything that is going to build us up and encourage us in our faith. Not just on a Sunday, but in coffee shops, in homes, wherever we meet. Paul was there. You know what I preached. And then finally he says this. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I've titled this one, You Know What Was Important. For Paul, the gospel. Repentance and faith, the two initial keys to coming to know Jesus. That moment where people recognize, the moment I recognize, God, actually, I'm wrong. You're right. I need your help. Where can I go? Jesus has done it. You know how I lived? You know how I served, you know how I preached, you know what was important. These people knew Jesus, knew Paul. They knew he was a man who worked in team, almost certainly had a lot of fun on the way. He lived with an authenticity, a generosity. He honored people and he had faith. In this case, he had faith to preach the gospel. We as Open Door want to emulate those characteristics. We want to be a people that are copying Paul. And I want to finish by just looking at some of the prophetic words that have come through lately. Words which God has inspired people to speak about our immediate situation. And I want to start with one that came 3 or 4 weeks ago, where there was a particular Sunday morning and people were talking about their issue, their problems, their challenges in life, the difficulties they were facing. And God just came and spoke to us and said, you need not sing alone. You need not sing alone. We are a family together. Now, I deliberately didn't ask you what was the one thing that you didn't want to tell anyone, because that wouldn't have been nice. But God knows it. He loves us. It takes a while before we share our deepest and innermost things among ourselves. But when we are facing challenges, when we are facing difficulties, so often we think, I should overcome this on my own. And sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and nothing happens, as we've heard today. And sometimes it's because God is just asking us, actually, share it with the family. Share it with your friends in the family. Share it with your life group in the family. Share it with someone on a Sunday morning. Pray together. Learn to support one another. Now we do it, but we have to go further and we have more to do. And we need to be people who recognize we don't need to sing songs on our own. We can do it together as a family. And then there are four. As Leslie brought a word, which God just spoke to her, that there were seeds that were sown in the 1750s around Kettering. As the church grew, as the church was quite powerful at that time, as God spoke to the church, as they prayed, as they asked God for this area, there were seeds sown in 1750, which is a long time ago, which have yet to grow. Many of them grew, but there's more to come. There's more to come. Andy brought the word about digging down into the ground so we can get to the wells of water. Adrian brought that word about the tapestries. He said he saw four tapestries around the building and they needed dusting off. And again, you don't do that on your own. We do it together. Tapestry of evangelism, of good governance, of healing, and one more to come. And then that overall sense that we are here to change the world. We are a body together. We work well when each one does its part. When each part recognizes what its part is. And we work together well when we do that with a sense of fun and a sense of family. When we're able to laugh at ourselves and our sort of characteristics. We do it as we live open to one another. We do it as we serve generously. I'm not even moving. I've got it here. We do it as we give ourselves generously. We do it as we honor, celebrate one another. We do it as we believe that God has called us to something more than we already are. Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders, and he said, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears. Although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught both publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. We want to be a people that copy Paul. Let's stand. We can stand together. Just going to pray. Father. Father, as we stand before you as your people, I want to ask that you would continue to dust off the cobwebs. I want to ask you that you will fill us with fresh urgency and energy. To be a family together, to enjoy being together, to live as those with open lives to one another. Across the whole body, Lord, as we continue to grow. Those like me and Les who've been here a short time, those who've been here for years, Lord, we ask that you will draw us all closer together. You'll pour out your love upon us, that increasingly we would know the openness of living together as your family, would find our life groups, our friendships circles, growing, maturing, deepening. Father, that we would serve you with great generosity, giving ourselves wholeheartedly to you. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that we would continue to grow in honoring one another, recognizing our differences, enjoying the many differences between us, our histories, our nations, our abilities, our achievements, that together we can see the possibilities, that we will grasp by faith to reach Kettering, Northamptonshire, and the world in which we live. We thank you for placing us together. We ask you to continue building us together, that we too, each and every one of us, might be able to say, you know how I lived. You know how I serve. You know what I preach. You know, we know what is important. Come, Holy Spirit, blow across us. Blow away more and more cobwebs. Clarify our thinking. Bring greater and greater healing. Healing to bodies, minds, spirits. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Brilliant.